James is the book of handling trials. It has been called the first book of the New Testament to be written, an intensely practical manual, the Proverbs of the New Testament, and a right strawy epistle having no true evangelical character. Let's look at the book of James, and let's begin with who is the author. The author of this epistle identifies himself as James, and he calls himself a servant as well as a teacher. Apparently, then, he was well known to the recipients of this little book. There are three prominent men named James in the New Testament. First of all, there is James, the son of Zebedee, the older brother of the apostle John. His martyrdom by 44 AD makes it unlikely that he wrote the epistle we call James. The second is James, the son of Alphaeus, the brother of Matthew. He too was an apostle with the nickname of James the Less. This James was comparatively obscure. Therefore, it is doubtful that he is the authoritative figure behind this epistle. James, the son of Joseph, was the half-brother of Jesus Christ. At first, he didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. But after the Lord appeared to him, he became a believer and one of the pillars of the church at Jerusalem. James, the half-brother of Christ, best fits the evidence as the author of this epistle. For one thing, there is no title which indicates that he was well known. The other two Jameses that I've mentioned were apostles, but they were not well known. James, the son of Zebedee, the only other likely author, is usually eliminated because of his early death. Secondly, this book was written to scattered Jewish Christians. James, the half-brother of Jesus, was the leader of the Jerusalem church. When those believers were scattered, he was the most likely one to write them. Thirdly, the vocabulary of this book resembles the vocabulary of James's speech in Acts 15. And finally, tradition says that James, the half-brother of Jesus Christ, is the author of this epistle we call James. So my conclusion is that the author of James is James, the half-brother of Jesus Christ. The second question we want to address is, who were the recipients? It is obvious that the recipients were Jewish Christians. The book is addressed to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. This is probably a reference to Jewish Christians who were scattered abroad because of the persecution mentioned in Acts chapter 8. If so, they went as far as Syria, and the date of James is probably somewhere around 45 AD. From the book itself, it is obvious that these Jewish Christians were still meeting in synagogues. That word is used in chapter 2. It is also obvious that they had elders. We're told that in chapter 5. Strangers sometimes attended their meetings. While some among them were rich, some were even traveling traders, the majority, however, were probably poor. They were having various kinds of trials. The rich were oppressing them by making them come before the magistrates in a court and wrongfully withholding their wages. These believers were also having trouble among themselves. They had disagreements, ambitions, and strife. Some were weak from the sickness. At any rate, the recipients of the book of James were Jewish Christians, probably the ones that were scattered abroad as a result of the persecution mentioned early in the book of Acts. What then is the subject of this book? Well, this is a much debated topic. Suggestions for a subject include faith, works, and even maturity. In my opinion, it is obvious from a careful reading of the book that the subject is trials. I say that because James begins with that subject in chapter 1, and he ends with it in chapter 5, verse 13. He develops various subjects that one way or another relate to the theme of trials. So, in my opinion, the subject of this book is trials. What is the structure of the book of James? That is, how does James take the subject of trials and develop it in the book? This is a much debated question. James is not a letter. Matter of fact, many have suggested that it sounds more like a sermon than reads like a letter. Whatever the literary form, though, the structure seems to be summarized in chapter 1, verse 19. But that's getting ahead of the story. I'll get to that in a minute. But first, let's back up and look at the whole book, beginning with verse 1. Verse 1 of the first chapter is a salutation. The second part of this book is the prologue. That goes from chapter 1, verse 2 through verse 18. In the prologue, James discusses trials in great detail, and he discusses temptation. After the prologue comes that verse I mentioned just a moment ago, James 1:19. That verse says, "Be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." I am suggesting that that forms the outline of the rest of the book. In other words, he says, "Be swift to hear." In chapter 1, verse 21, through the end of chapter 2, he's really talking about swift to hear. Now, you must remember, James says, don't be just a hearer of the word, but be a doer of the word. So when I say that in this section he's discussing being swift to hear, he defines that as be swift to go do what the word of God says. And that's why in chapter 2 he says faith without works is dead, because in this section he's discussing doing what God told us to do. The second exhortation in 1:19 is that we be slow to speak. He picks that up in chapter 3. All of chapter 3 is a discussion of the exhortation, be slow to speak. Then that third exhortation in 1:19 is be slow to wrath. Beginning in chapter 4, verse 1, and going through chapter 5, verse 12, he talks about various things that could make a person angry, like conflict and judging and being treated unjustly. And finally, the book ends with an epilogue, which is in 5:13 through verse 20. So let me sum all this up. In one sense, the development of the book, the structure, if you will, consists of a salutation, a prologue, the statement of the theme, then these three exhortations and an epilogue. What I want to do is focus for just a moment on those three exhortations. That's the heart of this book. James is saying that the subject of this book is trials, that trials ought to lead us to maturity. For that to happen, we must be swift to hear. That is, we must be swift to do what the Word of God says. Also, for that to happen, we must be slow to speak and slow to get angry. In other words, if when trials come, we get angry and spout off at the mouth, so to speak, and not listen to what the Word of God says, obviously, we will not develop spiritual maturity. But if we are slow to wrath and slow to speak and swift to hear what God says, then spiritual maturity will be developed in us. So the subject is trials, and the development of that subject is be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. What is the purpose of the book of James? The first purpose of James is to exhort Christians to respond properly to trials. These Jewish believers were in the midst of a number of trials, both from without and from within the congregation. If they were to mature, they would have to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. The second purpose of James is to warn Christians in trials about the dangers in trials. Besides not trusting the Lord, and thus not enduring, James speaks about temptation, a lack of works, a misuse of the tongue, judging one another, and bitterness. So to sum it all up, I would say, James, the half-brother of Jesus Christ, wrote to Jewish Christians outside of Palestine who were going through various trials to exhort them to respond properly and warn them about the several dangers they faced in the process. One of the spiritual lessons we should walk away with after looking at this book is simply this. If in the midst of a trial you trust God and are swift to obey, slow to speak, and slow to get angry, you will obtain the maximum benefit and the maximum maturity out of the experience. Remember, James is the book of handling trials.